Welcome back to the show. Welcome back to White Spot Giants this week here on Sportsnet 650. My name is Dan O'Connor. Pleased to have you on board this evening. And we are going to continue the conversation. We are going to head east to a community and a city and an organization that I think will forever be linked to the Vancouver Giants as a part of their history. It feels like forever ago that the Vancouver Giants were in the 2019 WHL Championship Series, an epic seven-game series for the ages against the Prince Albert Raiders, and the Prince Albert Raiders radio broadcaster, a fellow by the name of Trevor Redden, who I saw plenty of in that summer of 2019, and always great to reopen the conversation with the play-by-play voice of the Prince Albert Raiders. Trevor, how are you, my friend? It's good to hear your voice.
Hey, Dan, great to hear from you. I'm doing well. It's the hottest day of the year here in Prince Albert, so just trying to stay cool and enjoy some summer while we got it.
No kidding. And those winters will hit before you know it. And you know what? A quick story for those that that might not remember this, but I remember when the Vancouver Giants arrived in Prince Albert ahead of Game 1. It was May the 1st, I want to say, and it snowed. It legit snowed in May in Prince Albert. I'll never forget it as long as I live. So you enjoy that sun, my friend. So what do you remember about early to mid-March and the days leading into the penultimate stop and closure of the Western Hockey League season?
Well, what I really remember is a weekend trip to Manitoba was the last hockey that the Raiders played. They finished off, I think it was a Sunday that they played in Winnipeg against the Ice. Came back home on that Sunday night, I think off day Monday. And I can't remember the timeline exactly. I think it was Wednesday was the day that the NBA shut down and it trickled through the NHL. Thursday was the announcement. Do I have that timeline right?
Yeah, so it was the Wednesday night when Rudy Gobert and the positive test, the Utah Jazz basketball game did not happen. Yes, you're bang on.
So Monday, Tuesday was status quo, and Wednesday through the day was normal. I believe the Raiders had a game on Friday they were getting ready for. And the funny part of it was the radio broadcaster of the Winnipeg Jets on TSN Radio, Brian Munns, is a former Prince Albert Raider broadcaster, and he actually was at the rink on the Sunday. He came to Winnipeg, and he has connections with the coaching staff on our team, and I've gotten to know him a little bit. So he had a really good visit that day, and he was talking about them going out to Alberta that week. They had Edmonton Wednesday, Calgary Thursday. And so we had that little chat. Didn't think much of it. Wednesday night, I'm kind of following along as the rest of the sporting world is with the Rudy Gobert case and that bizarre game canceled in Oklahoma City. Meanwhile, it was the Edmonton Oilers and Winnipeg Jets were playing in Edmonton at Rogers Place, and Brian Munns, of course, was calling that game, and I've spoken with him about that since, and he told us that it was kind of during the intermission they were getting a little bit of word of what was going on in the NBA. That ended up being, I think there were two late games in the NHL that Wednesday night, ended up being the two last games of that regular season schedule. Thursday morning, the Jets and everyone else in the league were told that it was over. I remember going into the Raider office, I think around noon on Thursday, because everyone was asking me what was going on. I was at the radio station. I didn't know. So I just went down there to pop my head in and kind of see what was going on. And that's when you really started to chat with the coaches, and nothing could be shared officially. They didn't know anything, but the speculation was that if the NHL's done, if the NBA's done, then we're done. But the big thing then was done didn't mean months. Done meant maybe a couple of weeks and reevaluate, you know? So it was a weird feeling. I think we all thought at that point, okay, we're going to shut it down over the weekend, reevaluate where we're at on Monday. And nobody would have guessed at that point that all of a sudden we'd be sitting here in the middle of August and reminiscing on those days in early March when we last saw WHL hockey.
Crazy, man. Yeah. And all of a sudden 5 months goes by in the blink of an eye, and the feeling of a game day right now, I think, feels very foreign to a lot of folks. But based on the championship of 2019 and the, I guess, the aftershock of such an emotional victory, do your best for us, Trevor, to kind of personify the 2019-20 season for the Prince Albert Raiders. Were they trending at the right time? Did they like their chances going into the playoffs? I know that the division itself, you know, with Winnipeg, with Brandon, with Prince Albert, I mean, there was a logjam in that division for much of the season. So how were the guys feeling heading into March, and how were the guys really feeling about their season as a whole?
I think it was a season that people were very pleasantly surprised by. Coming into that one, I think from the outside and inside the organization, there was a belief that the 2018-19 Raiders were obviously a great team. They won the championship, went to the Memorial Cup. And then the 2020-2021 Raiders on paper were looking to be another team that could contend. And then there was a lot of question mark of what is this bridge team? You're going to lose a lot of guys from that championship team. You're going to be throwing a lot of younger players into bigger roles. And how would they handle that? Those questions were answered early. The first couple months of the season, the Raiders took off and hung on to first place in the division. And through October, November, and in the early part of December, they just picked off right where they left off. It wasn't quite as dominant of a team as we saw the year before. But then there was something hit the team in early to mid-December, and I don't mean illness or anything like that. They just lost their way. I mean, a guy like Alexei Protas went away to join Belarus at the World Junior Tournament. Ilya Usov went away as well. I think that had a big impact. Some goaltending issues. Boston Beloes, who had been so good early in the year, went through a bit of a struggle. And the Raiders made a couple moves trying to address that goaltending. But what that ended up being was an 8-game losing streak, which, based on what we'd seen for the Raiders over the last 18 months, that was unthinkable that a team as successful as the Raiders could go on that kind of a skid. And all of a sudden, that first-place team that was among the best in the whole WHL had totally lost its way. The games, for the most part, were pretty close. It was a team that was right there. The goal scoring dried up. A guy like Protas being away really hurt, and goaltending was a struggle. And then all of a sudden, first bit of January, Curtis Hunt decides to make the move, brings in Max Paddock from the Regina Pats, a move that was not just for this past season, but for next year as well, assuming that an undrafted 19-year-old goaltender would likely be back as a 20. And right from day one, he came in and solidified things, and the Raiders took off. And you look at it where the season ended, 7-2-1 in their last 10, and 641 win percentage, including an 8-game losing skid. Even if they played 500 hockey during that skid, I think they're close to a 700 win percentage team, competing with the Oil Kings for among the best teams in the Eastern Conference. So it's a team that went through their lull in December, made some adjustments, but was really trending in the right direction. And there was a ton of excitement here in Prince Albert for what lied ahead on hopefully what was going to be a long playoff run.
Trevor Redden, my guest here on White Spot Giants this week. He is the radio broadcaster for the Prince Albert Raiders, who still are the reigning Western Hockey League champs. Of course, we all remember the seven-game series with the Vancouver Giants and how the two communities are going to kind of forever be linked together. I know you only saw the Vancouver Giants once this past season, and I know that it was, it felt like a bit of a homecoming for the Giants to go back to the Coronet Hotel and kind of back into a community of Prince Albert that I don't think any of us really expected would kind of have that endearing memory associated with it. But you could even tell with our coaches and our players, the guys that were all a part of it, you know, there was a bit of a twinkle, and there was certainly a focus that kind of washed over them when we arrived back into the community. So I mean, from the other side, I know it's hard to sometimes follow what's going on with teams in the opposing conference, but surely you were kind of aware of what the Giants had gone through as far as their ascent up the standings kind of after the trade deadline and so on and so forth. So I guess from your standpoint, probably a bit of a weird question given that the Raiders were victorious in that series, but what comes to mind when I say Vancouver Giants to you?
Yeah, I remember a team that was, I think back to that series, and I just think, first and foremost, I mean, from our perspective, we get a little bit of a different look. Obviously, you get to see the guys on the ice, but you really get to know the coaching staff and the staff like yourself behind the scenes. So what I think of first is I just think of really good people. I mean, what a great experience that was, getting to know Coach Dick a little bit, getting to know some of the assistant coaches. GM Barkley Parnetta sat up in the press box with us in Prince Albert because we were limited for space. So you get to know the people behind the scenes, and, of course, yourself and Bill Wilms. And it just became such a kinship there. It was so fun seeing you guys around the rink all the time. And, you know, as staff members, you're not competing to the same degree, so it's a little more friendly. I just think of a world-class organization and going out to Vancouver, seeing the facilities, seeing the way that things are run out there. And I think a team, honestly, in 2018-19 that kind of snuck up on everyone in the Western Conference. I don't think coming into the playoffs, Vancouver was the team that was picked by many to go all the way to the final, but they showed what they were capable of. Obviously, a guy like Bowen Byram on the back end and just a ton of hardworking depth players up front. Not all depth. I mean, there's a lot of skill up front, but it was a very blue-collar, workman-like team that came at you in waves. And I think that's where there was a lot of surprise. And I know there was a lot of conversation when the Giants came to Prince Albert back in early October. But what's going on with this team? This is a team that was a year ahead of schedule. A lot of people thought getting to the championship in 2019. So it only stood to reason that in 2019-20, they were going to hit the ground running and take off. Obviously, maybe some goaltending struggles early in the year. And, well, with Bowen Byram up in the NHL for a little bit and coming back, there's always that adjustment period. And I think coming in with expectations is always a little bit tough. Even that 2018-19 Raider team that was so strong, not many people were expecting them to be as good as they were. So the expectations maybe didn't even bring that much of a burden on them. I think maybe expectations burden that Vancouver team from the outside looking in. Obviously, I'm preaching to the choir saying this to you, but I was surprised at where they were at there in early October. But once things turned the corner in the second half, it was no surprise whatsoever. And from the outside looking in, it sure seemed like a Giants team that was poised to go make some noise again this spring.
Trevor Redden here on White Spot Giants this week. He is the voice of the Prince Albert Raiders, and we are looking forward, and we kind of now have a rough idea of when the NHL draft is going to take place. We're kind of zeroing in on October, and it promises to be a very successful draft for a number of Prince Albert Raiders. Certainly a lot of the headlines and draft attention going to the likes of Caden Gooley, and then, of course, with Ozzie Weisblatt and a few of those others. But can you maybe just give us a sense of how busy the media team is going to be for the Prince Albert Raiders come draft day?
Well, when you say media team, a small market organization like the Raiders, it's our friend Brett Smith is basically the entire media team and then some with the Prince Albert Raiders. So I think come draft day, he is going to be a very, very busy man because we're looking at maybe four guys that could go in this NHL draft. I mean, Caden Gooley is creeping towards that top 10 status, depending on some of the recent polls from the headliners at TSN and Sportsnet, kind of in that 11, 12, 13 range. So it's entirely possible that Caden Gooley is a high first-round draft pick. I think it's almost a certainty that he's going to be a first-round pick. So I think from what you've seen from him, whether it be in the WHL final or this year, and certainly I saw the growth from him this year, and I think he's just scratching the surface of what he can do at both ends of the rink. So he's going to be an outstanding player. Then you've got Ozzie Weisblatt, just a dynamic forward that has all the razzle-dazzle in the world, some real snarl and grit to his game as well. I think he's wherever he ends up, he's going to be a real fan favorite, just like he is here in Prince Albert. I mean, busted out for a 70-some-point season, 70 points in 64 games. I think he's probably going to fall into that second round range somewhere. And then behind him, a couple guys that I don't really know where they're going to end up. You've got Ilya Usov, the American Belarusian player. He's not an import because he has been naturalized in the States for a few years before coming up to Canada, but as a rookie, now an 18-year-old rookie, so he's a little bit older than a lot of other rookies, but he comes in with 22 goals and 52 points in his first year in the WHL. Just a silky smooth set of hands, low center of gravity, a strong skater, just a really good headsy player with a ton of offensive finish. And then you've got Landon Cozier, who's another guy who was maybe a little bit of an unknown coming in because he stayed at the mid-AAA level as a 16-year-old with the Tisdale Trojans. He was not a high draft pick. In fact, he wasn't drafted into the Western Hockey League at all. I know the Raiders had been kicking tires as a 16-year-old, but he decided rather than maybe being an extra on a very deep Raider team, it was best for him to go down to the midget AAA level. Tough to argue that. He was the top defenseman in all of Saskatchewan midget AAA hockey as a 16-year-old. So he had a great development season as a 16-year-old, was still weighing his college options, I think, when it came time to his draft year. But ultimately, he saw the opportunity with the Raiders, with guys like Braden Pahal being gone and a logjam that led to the departure of Max Martin. And, you know, there were a lot of different things. Sergei Cepago moves on. So there were openings on that back end. Cozier steps right in, and he has some absolute moxie. Comes in as a 17-year-old, 23 points in 64 games. Not the biggest guy. Doesn't overwhelm you with anything necessarily skill-wise. He's a good skater. He's not an overwhelming skater. He's not huge. He has a decent shot, not a great shot. But it's between the ears is really what separates him. And getting the long exposure like I get to these players, you just see time and time again. Once or twice, if you see one game, you might think it's a coincidence that he is where he is to break up plays and make the right read. But when you see it day in and day out, you just see that he sees the game a little bit differently than a lot of guys. And I think it's between the years that's going to do it for him. And projecting his jump from a 16-year-old midget player to a 17-year-old WHL rookie and how well he adjusted, I think that's where there's a wide range. He could really move up the draft, or he could fall low, depending how teams project where he could go. Then you throw into the mix, I don't think that the draft would be calling his name, but a guy like Max Paddock, I mean, with the year he had, he's still undrafted. Someone could take a late-round flyer. I think at the very least he's going to get an invite to camp somewhere. So bottom line is, long story short, there's going to be a lot of Prince Albert Raiders with definitely a lot of interest around draft day.
Two more for you, Trevor, and we'll let you go. Can you for just sure. do your best to kind of give us the sense of kind of like the pulse about, you know, within the community of Prince Albert, and maybe even bigger picture about the province of Saskatchewan and kind of where everything is at in regards to COVID-19, crowds being allowed to form again? Is this something that feels, you know, knock on wood, hopefully optimistic for that December 4th date that has now been firmly entrenched by the WHL? And kind of how are things going in that neck of the woods that we don't necessarily get to check in with every day?
Yeah, I think starting with the broader picture, the province of Saskatchewan, I would say, has done a fairly strong job of managing it. Now, the numbers have climbed quite a bit over the last 6 weeks, like they have many other places. The province was one of the first ones to really start opening things up because of the low spread. Obviously, it's not nearly as dense of a population as other parts of the country. We've got 1.2 million people spread across the entire province. Cities no bigger than 300,000 in Saskatoon. So we're at an advantage there, and we opened up. There have been some outbreaks that have been a little bit localized, I would say. There's a community across this province of communal living societies or Hutterite societies. It's kind of a German group who live on farms and live in colonies, sort of thing. So there's been outbreaks that have gotten into those colonies, and it's really spread between them. The spread between the colonies into the broader public doesn't seem to be taking off too much, but there's certainly the numbers have spiked to a point where there's a lot more concern now, I think, than there was maybe the first bit of July. But having said that, I think the province has done a good job. The government has shown a willingness to try to get things open and move things along as long as it's safe. Students are going back to school here the second week of September, and I think that's probably going to be a metric, a bit of a gauge, unfortunately, to see how things go is how things go in the school. Hopefully everything goes well. But it sounds like, speaking with people inside the Raider organization, that the Saskatchewan government and the health authority has been really extremely cooperative. They've been listening. They've been hearing what the WHL teams have had to say, what their plans are. I know that the league has been doing a ton of work behind the scenes to get things ready and make it as easy as possible for the government. They're going to have a very thorough plan in place that the government can review, and hopefully there's not too much back and forth. Once the government's ready to go, they can say yes. So from a province standpoint, I mean, it's a pandemic, so who knows, but relative to maybe other jurisdictions around the league, I think Saskatchewan's in a strong position, and like the Junior A Hockey League, the midget leagues, I think they're still aiming to get going in October, it sounds like. Having said that, there's a total understanding that we're all in this together, and you can't just isolate one province or another. And it's going to be a matter of what happens across our four provinces, the bigger centers, the Calgarys, the Vancouvers, the Winnipegs, and not to mention south of the border as well. With that border being closed another month, that complicates things even further. Moving within the community, I think Prince Albert has handled it pretty well. We haven't had a ton of cases in this community. I think it's been managed very well. And it's in terms of the Raiders, I think fans are pretty excited. People are wearing their masks and really following the instructions and doing whatever they can to do their part here. But I think there shouldn't be an issue if the health authority decides that the Art Hauser Center can open its doors to 50% capacity in December, like is being planned for. I think there's going to be a lot of excitement, a lot of enthusiasm for people who are able to get back in the rink. The problem, Dan, as you know, is this rink is not very big here in Prince Albert. It sits about 2,600. You can put another 500 or so in standing room. So at 50%, you're looking at maybe 1,600 fans a night. Season ticket list was well beyond that last year. I think they've already got about 1,300 committed for this year, if I remember is correct. So there's going to be maybe a real battle to get tickets this year. And then speaking with the organization, with the president, Gord Broda, he said that at that number, it's going to be really difficult to make a profit. I don't think anyone's expecting to make a profit this year, but he said if they can get 68 games in, if they can get 50% capacity, he doesn't know if they'll break even. He said best case scenario is break even, but they're comfortable with taking a little bit of a loss this year if it means bringing Raider hockey back to this community, because I think the organization, the fans, the city is very supportive of making that happen. And obviously, it's just up to so many external factors now whether it can go ahead or not.
Last one for you, Trevor. We'll let you go. What are you reading? What are you watching? What are you listening to with a bit more time on your hands?
Well, all kinds of stuff. I mean, I'll tell you what, the NHL in August, I wasn't sure exactly how much interest I would have when it's 30 degrees outside and the golf course is open and there's beautiful lakes nearby, but I've kind of sucked right back into it. I haven't had much trouble getting back into NHL hockey. I've really enjoyed that. So I've been watching quite a bit of that. Reading has been, I've really committed myself actually since kind of the lockdown to read quite a bit. So I've gone through a number of different books on my bookshelf. I've read a few different nonfiction books. I've read a little bit of Malcolm Gladwell, the Sapiens books I read earlier this year. And actually what I've gotten into lately is a kind of a family history book that goes back some relatives of mine that were in a court case back in the Revolutionary War in the late 1700s in Vermont. So it's been a little dry, but it's fascinating to see kind of where I come from. So I've been doing that, picked up a little bit of an online course here. My wife and I, she's a teacher, and, you know, with some of the, you know, a lot of racial issues and injustices have come to light here in the past few months. So we've taken up an online course on, you know, Indigenous relations here in Canada, because that's such a big, a very forefront thing here in the Prince Albert area. So we've been busy with that. And yeah, a little bit of Netflix and Crave here and there, but just kind of, we haven't gotten too much into any series, just a little bit of what we can. But we've been keeping busy. There's no doubt about that.
That's really interesting, and I'd love to talk more about that in due course, and I'm sure we'll get that chance here, hopefully, Trevor, before too long, hopefully. But really appreciate your time, as always. Always great to connect. Really enjoy the fact that, our two franchises are kind of going to be, you know, kind of forever bound together because of what happened in 2019. But above all else right now, man, safety, positivity to you and your family, and again, hoping like heck that we get to cross paths this season at some point, at some time, shape, or another. All the best to you, Trevor. Thanks for coming on the show. It's a pleasure as always.
Thanks a lot, Dan. I appreciate you having me on. Great catching up. Hopefully we see you again before too long here once things kick off. And congratulations again on tying the knot this summer. That's fantastic. Wishing you and your wife all the best.
Awesome stuff. Trevor Redden, voice of the Prince Albert Raiders here on White Spot Giants this week. A big thanks to him. Huge thanks as well to Scott Cook, Giants alumnus, for joining us in segment number one. I'm Dan O'Connor with the Vancouver Giants. Thank you very much for stopping by this week. We'll talk to you soon. This has been White Spot Giants this week on the home of Vancouver hockey and the home of the Giants, Sportsnet 650.